Okay, we're going to start by the two dots on Chav Gimel Med Aleph. It's the story that we saw in the Mishnah of Choni HaMehagel. The Gemara now is going to repeat from a Braita, basically the story that we saw in the Mishnah, with some enhancements or extra detail that's not found in the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, Pam Achat Yatsa Rov Adar, Velo Yerdu Gishamim. It was already all the way through, almost the end of Adar, and there was no rain. Shachu L'Choni HaMehagel. They sent to Choni Magel, Hitpalel, v'yerdu gishamim. Go ahead and daven for us that there'll be geshem. Hitpalel, v'lo yerdu gishamim. He davens, and the rain doesn't come. Ag uga, he encircled himself, circumscribed himself in a circle. V'amad betocha, he stands in the middle of it. Kederach shasa Chavakuk ha-Navi. Similar to what Chavakuk does. It's the beginning of the second parak in Chavakuk. It says, Shenemar, al mishmarti e'emoda. So I'm going to stand on my watch and I will remain at the tower. And the Targum, the way that they translate over there, means that he basically said, I'm going to stay here until I get the word from Hashem. Similar type of idea, which is he locked himself in a position where he would not release himself from this quasi-incarceration until Hashem responded. So Chavakuk does that, and now Choni HaMehagel does the same thing, which is until Hashem responds to his tefillah, he's going to remain in this incarceration. So similar to Chavakuk, Choni HaMehagel encircles himself and says, Amar lefanav, Ribono shel olam, banecha samu pnehem alai. Your children have put their faith in me, shani keben bayit lefanecha, because I am like a regular by you. Nishba ani b'shimcha gadol, I take an oath in your great name. I'm not leaving here. Ad shitirachem al banecha, until you have mercy on your children. Hitchilu gishamim minatvim. So the rain start to drip or to drizzle down. Amru lo talmidav, Rabbi Rinucha, we see you. We see that you're performing miracles. V'lo namut. But this really isn't going to do the job. Make sure that we don't die. It's not enough that they simply have the rain come. We need rain that's actually going to make a difference. Kimidunim imanu. We get the sense, Shenek Shemim Yordim, Elahatir Shvuatcha. The only reason the rain is coming is to release you from your oath, so that you can get out of the circle, but it's not going to bring the rain that we need. Amar Lefanav, so Choni HaMehagel turns to Hashem and says, Lo Kach Sha'alti. That's not what I asked for. Elagishmei Borot Shichim U'Me'arot. I want sufficient water, or the type of rain that's going to fill all the cisterns, that's going to replenish the water supply. Then all of a sudden the rain came down torrentially. That each drop was the size of a barrel or a pitcher. There was no drop or drip that came down that was less than a log. We see that you're performing miracles. But this isn't going to solve the problem. That the rain is coming now, it's going to wash away the world, it's going to destroy the world. It's too strong. So again, Choni HaMehagel turns to Hashem and says, that's not what I asked for. Rain that comes with blessing, that is something that people want, and it's in a generous manner. So something between the first rain that he got that was a drip or a drizzle, and the latter rain that he got, which was torrential. And so at this point, the first rains were too light, the latter rains were too heavy, but they were destructive rains. So at this point, he can ask to stop them because they're destructive. He wants the proper rain. So then finally the rain comes as it's supposed to. It rained so much until all the people in Yerushalayim moved onto Har HaBayit, which was the highest point there. Because of the amount of rain that was coming down. Amrulo Rabbi, Hashem Shitpalauta Shirdu, Kachit Palel Veyokulahem. Just like you daven that they came, why don't you daven also Veyokulahem and that they should return? Samadahem says back to them, Kach Mikumlani Shain Mitpalima Rova Tova. You're not allowed to daven to stop goodness or bracha that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem bestows a bracha on you, and even if the bracha is excessive or keeps coming, you can't ask to stop it. So afal pikein, despite that mesorah that he has, he says to them, "Haviu li parhoda, bring for me a parhoda." Now it's not clear what exactly this parhoda is. Rashi claims it was a shlamim, then it's called a parhoda because he's going to be the hit vadot aleha, going to do a vidui on it. Others suggest that it was an ola, and he was bringing a parhoda, which was a power to say thank you to Hashem as a gift to Hashem, but then to say it's enough. Heviu lo par, hoda, they brought him this par that he requested. Samach shtei yadav alav, he puts his two hands on it. Vamar lefanav, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, Amcha Yisrael sheyotzeita mimitzrayim, your nation Israel that you took out of Mitzrayim, einan yecholim la'amod, lo berov tova, velo berov puranut. They can't take too much good, and they can't take too much bad. Kasta lehem, when you get angry at them, einan yecholim la'amod, they can't stand connected your wrath. Hishpat alehem tova, when you bestow upon them goodness, einam yecholim la'amod, they can't take it. Yiratzom alefanecha, shipasku agshamim, that the rain should cease. A revach ba'olam, that there should be a nice, perfect time in the world. Miad nashva haruach, the wind picked up. Vinit pazru ha'avim, the clouds dispersed. Vezarcha chama, and the sun burst forth. Ve'etzu ha'am la'sadeh, and the people went out to the fields. Ve'vil lehem k'mehem u'pitriot, and they brought back mushrooms and other fungi that they were able to eat at that time. V'sholach lo Shimon ben Shatach, Shimon ben Shatach, who is the head of the Sanhedrin, sends them, imalei choni ata, if it weren't for the fact that you're choni, gozvani alecha nidui, I would have excommunicated you because of the way that you spoke toward Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's almost spoken in an inappropriate manner, demanding and telling him what to do. Shilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu, if these were the years like the years of Eliyahu, Eliyahu Navi, who basically makes a demand that there'll be no talu matar until I say so. And in the time of Achav, now there is drought for an extended period of time. She maftechot gishamim biyado shel Eliyahu, that the keys to rain are in the hands of Eliyahu. Lo nimtza shem shamayim mitchalel b'yadcha, wouldn't your activity or your actions cause a chilul Hashem? So basically what he's saying is, if you, in the time of Eliyahu Navi, put in place the ability for people to get rain, then you would end up with the Chilul Hashem, because Eliyahu took a Shavua so there should not be rain, you took a Shavua that there should be rain, and now one of you is going to end up having a Shavuat Sheker, because Hashem can't give to both of you. So it'll end up that there'll be a Chilul Hashem. That's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it is that Eliyahu Navi doesn't want the rain to come, because he's trying to lead Bnei Yisrael down a path of tshuva to return and stop doing avodah zarah. Now, if you come along and bring rain while he's trying to do this, don't you undermine what he's trying to do? Or similarly, in our case, if Hashem doesn't want to give the people rain and he's punishing them, when you come and change that, aren't you undermining the message that Hashem wants to give? So basically, Shimon ben Shetach is saying, aren't you being mechalel Hashem what you do? Aval ma aseh lecha? But in the end, I can't do anything. She'atam mitchateh lifnei ha'makom, because you beg Hashem, v'osedachar v'tzoncha, and he does whatever you ask. Kevein she'mitchateh al aviv, like a son who is begging or bothering his father, v'osedo v'tzono, and he does whatever the son asks for. V'omer lo, Abba holicheni l'rachatzeini v'chamin, take me to the bathhouse to go in the hot water. Shatveini b'tzonein, wash me in the cold water. Tein li egozim, shkedim, afarsikim, virimonim. Give me nuts, almonds, peaches, pomegranates. Notein lo, and he gives it to him. Balecha katuv omer, I knew the pasuk says, ismach avicha v'imecha, v'tagel yoladetecha. That your parents rejoice, and joyous is the day of your birth. I mean, this individual, Choni HaMagel, is so unusual and so unique that anybody who comes into contact with him will realize his uniqueness and his specialness. And Shimon ben Shetach says, I have no power to do anything because in the end, Hashem listens to you. And when Hashem listens to you, that means that he's acquiescing to your request. Tarabanan, ma shalchu bnei lishkat ha-gazit l'choni ha-magel. Those that sent in lishkat ha-gazit, which is the Sanhedrin, what did they send? Or what message did they send to choni ha-magel? So they quote a pasuk from Yov, which says, "V'tigzar omer v'yakum lach." You will decree by the word, and it happens. V'adrachecha noga or, and on your way, on your path, it shines with light. So now the Gemara is going to darshan. This is just a portion, which is "V'tigzar omer v'yakum lach." V'adrachecha noga or, ki hishpilu v'tomer geva v'shach einayim yoshia. Yimaleit inaki v'nimlat bevor kapecha. So those are three psukim at the end of that parak in Iyov. And now the Gemara is going to go one by one and discuss those psukim that we just quoted. So the Gemara begins with v'tigzar omer. He decrees by his word. Ata gazarta milamato. You decreed below. Bekodesh Baruch Hu mekayem mamarcha milamalo. And then Hashem responds and keeps your word up above. V'adrachecha naga or. And on your way or on your path, there shines light. Dor shaya hafel. A generation in which it was dark. He'arta b'tfilatcha. With through your prayer, you lit them up or you brought light. And here's the continuation of the next pasuk, which is, ki hishpilu batomer geva. When you have been humbled, you say, get up, or I will rise again. Dor shayesh shafel, the generation that was low down, higba'ato b'tfilatcha, you raised it up with your davening. V'shach einayim yoshia, and the one that is humble will be saved. Dor sheshach be'avono, the generation that was humbled or pushed down by its sin, v'sha'ato b'tfilatcha, you saved it through your Tfilah. Yimaleit inaki. Hashem saves the person that has no blame. Dor shaloya anaki. The generation that was not clean and was not ra'ui. Milatito b'tfilatcha. You helped them to escape through your tfilah. And here the final part of that pasuk, which is v'nimlat b'vor kapecha. You escaped or you'll be saved through the purity of your hands. Milatito b'maseh yadecha habirurim. You saved them with your great deeds that were clear and well known. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol yamav sheoto tzadik, haya mitzter al mikra hazeh. So, this is a story, or an additional story about Koni HaMa'agel. We had the story over here about Koni HaMa'agel, that he insisted that Hashem bring the rain in the proper way, in the proper time, and that's what happens. Then, we had the Lishkar HaGazit, the Sanhedrin's reaction to Koni HaMa'agel, and how they're complimenting him, how he turned everything around. Everything was so bad. Everything was going the wrong direction. And he's able to bring it back and turn it to the right direction. So they're complimenting him on that. Then now we have a story from Rabbi Yochanan about Koni HaMa'agel himself, about his life. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol yamav sheoto tzadik haya mitzter al mikra hazeh. He was bothered by this pasuk. Shir ha'malot b'shuv Hashem et shivat Zion hayinu kechomim. When Hashem brings back the exiles of Zion, we were dreaming. So we know that it takes 70 years for Hashem to redeem Bnei Yisrael, to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael from Galut Bavel. And he says over here, Kechomim, we were dreaming. Amar miika denayim shivim shnin bechalma. Since when does somebody sleep for 70 years dreaming? And if you tell me that we were dreaming and the 70 years passed, and that's why there's Shivat Zion, since when do people dream for 70 years? So yom echad hava azal b'orcha. He was going along his way. Saw a person that was planting a carob tree. How long before this tree bears fruit? Takes 70 years before it bears fruit. You're so certain you're going to live another 70 years that you're planting this? When I came into the world, there was a carob there, and I benefited for that. Keichad deshat li avatai, just like my forefathers planted that for my benefit, shalinami livrai, I am doing it for the benefit of my children. So he said that others had the foresight to plant the carob tree, even though they were not to benefit from it, because they saw it would help generations in the future. So I do the same thing. I take from what my forefathers put, but I also grant or give to those that come after me. So even though I will not reap the rewards of this tree, I still am planting it so those others can be beneficiaries of it. The Yotiv Hakari Chrifta. He sat down to eat bread. Atale Shinta. He was overcome by sleep. Nim. He dozed off. Ahadre Le Mishinita. He was then surrounded or covered in rocks. And Ikase Meina. And he was no longer visible. V'nim shivin shnin, and then he sleeps for 70 years. Kikam, when he awakens, chazi lahu gavra, tahav kamelaket minayu. He sees this individual who's collecting the carobs from this tree. Amalei atu dishatalte, are you the one who planted this tree? Amalei barbareana, I'm his grandson. I know who planted it, I'm the grandson of that individual. Amalei ramina denayim shivin shnin. He basically says, now I realize that I've been asleep for 70 years. Chaza the chamare, he sees his donkey, didyali dalei ramache ramache, that it has folds and folds, flocks and flocks of donkeys that it's produced already. So there's a large amount of time that has elapsed in the interim. Azalabete, he goes to his house. Amar Luhu, Braid the Choni Amagel Mikayam. Is the son of Choni Amagel still alive? Amrulei, Braid Leta. No, the son has already passed away. Barbreita. But his grandson is here. Amruhu, Ana Choni Amagel. So he tells the people of that house, I am Choni Amagel. Lohim Nu. They didn't believe him. Azalabete Midrash. He went to the Beit Midrash, Shem Inu the Rabbonon, the Gamre. He overhears the Rabbanon saying, Nehirin, Shmaitatin, Kibishnei Choni Amagel. Today, we get the sense or the feeling that our learning is like that of those days when Choni Amagel was present. Techihavi Ayla Beit Midrasha, when he entered into the Beit Midrash, Kokushia, Davlu the Rabbonon, Havim Afreklu. Any question that they had, he was able to answer. So they said, we're getting a feeling today that there's clarity in the Beit Midrash, like in the years of Choni Amagel. The truth was, it was because Choni Amagel was there. But they didn't realize that. So Amar Lehu, Ananihu. He says to them, I'm him. I am Choni Amagel. That's why it's happening today, because that's me. Lohim Nu. Again, they didn't believe him. Lo Avdele Yekara Kedimibayve. And they didn't honor him in the manner that was befitting his stature. Chalash Date. He was left distraught or despondent over this issue. Bayrachme umit. He asked from Hashem that he should die, and he passes away. Amarova hainu d'amrei inashe. This is what people say. Oh, chavruta, oh mituta. Either I have a chavruta, or I should be dead. Now that can mean in many different levels. It can be talking about in learning. It can be say that if you have a proper chavruta, then it's worth it. Otherwise, it's not worth it, and you may as well die. We see that type of sentiment over here from Choni Amagel. We also have it in the story of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, where in the end Rabbi Yochanan kills Rish Lakish by giving him a look because something that Rish Lakish has said. After that point in time, Rabbi Yochanan is left miserable because he can never find a replacement to Rish Lakish as his chavruta. The other way to look at it is on a social sense, that a person either has peers and friends and a social context. If he doesn't have that, then limituta, it's better to die. And again, that's what Choni Magel's experience was. That nobody believed who he was. Nobody acknowledged, nobody treated him the way that he felt was appropriate in the context or for the stature that he had. And therefore, he said, I prefer death than to be in a situation where I don't have any of that social framework or social structure that I would have expected. Or in a sense, people preferred Choni Amagel in theory rather than in reality. Many times, people, after their death, become a legend, or there's certain aura that surrounds them, and that if they actually show up in person, it detracts or diminishes from that image or that picture that one has painted. And that's what's happening to Choni Amagel. They're talking about him. They are ascribing certain amount of uniqueness to his personality, but they can't deal with him in person. They can't acknowledge or understand Choni Amagel in real life. Now, the whole story here of what we would call like the equivalent of a Rip Van Winkle, that Choni Amagel falls asleep and misses a 70-year period, that's important, or the message that is being conveyed over here is something along the lines of the difference between instant gratification and the ability to defer gratification. One of the most important features of Yahadut and successful religious practice is the ability to defer gratification. And this individual that Choni Amagel sees, who's planting a tree, and realizes that he will never benefit from that tree, but is able to do it because he knows that in the future someone will be a beneficiary, and he understands that the reason that he was able to benefit from a charuv was because someone else deferred their gratification. That's someone who can understand the importance of doing mitzvot and delaying the gratification until olam haba. Whereas someone who needs instant gratification will never think beyond their dalet amot, won't have a perspective that allows them to defer that gratification and do mitzvot and give up of the worldly pleasures in order to successfully engage in Torah and mitzvot. The other message that's very important here is that every individual is born in a certain time period and in a certain context. And we're born then because that's where Hashem expects us to act and to contribute. And that the same individual or the same greatness, when it's in a different context or not the right place in the right time, might not be meaningful. And here, Choni Amagel, who's viewed as a leader in the generation, a pivotal person in changing the trajectory of Klal Yisrael, yet when he shows up 70 years later, he's no longer meaningful. He's no longer that same Choni HaMagel that was there 70 years earlier. So here are a number of lessons that come out from these amazing stories of Choni HaMagel. Okay, Abba Chilkiah, Bar Berei de Choni HaMagel. Abba Chilkiah was the grandson of Choni HaMagel. Kifachim Mitzrech Amal HaMitra, when the world needed rain, Abu Mishadre Rabbanan Legabe. He used to send the Rabbanan to him, that he showed Ubayi Rachmei V'Atir Mitra, so that he should daven. And once he davened, the rain came. Zimna Chada Yitzdarech Alma LeMitra. The world needed rain. Shadur Rabbanan Zuga de Rabbanan Legabe. They sent a pair of Tamid Chachamim to him, Ubayi Rachmei Denei Mitra, so that he'll daven, and there will be rain. Azul Lebeite V'lo Ashkechu. They went to his house, and they couldn't find him. Azul B'davro, they went out into the fields, V'Ashkechu. And then they found him, the Havaka Rafik. He was hoeing, he was loosening the dirt in the ground. Yavidei Shlama, they greeted him. They said, Shalom Alecha Rabbi, Velo Asbar Luhu Ape. He basically did not acknowledge their greeting. He ignored them completely. Bepanyol, in the afternoon, Kava Manke Tzibe, when he was chopping the wood, splitting the wood, Dara Tzibe Umara Bechad Katfa. He put the chopped wood and the tool, whether it's the axe or whatever the tool it is, he put it on one shoulder. Uglima b'chad katfo. And then he puts his cloak on the other shoulder. Kuli orcha losai misani. The entire journey, he doesn't wear shoes. Kimatu de mayo, when he reaches water, sai misani, he puts on shoes. Kimatu de hizmei v'hige, when he reached thorns and thistles, delino de mane, he would used to pull up his clothing so that it would not get caught in the thorns. Kimato the mato. When he reaches the city, Nafka debetu lape. His wife comes to greet him, Kimikashto, dressed up in her finest. Kimato the bete. When he reaches his house, Outlat debetu beresha. His wife enters first. Father Ailehu, then he enters. Father Aile Rabbanon, and then the Rabbanon follow him afterwards. Yotiv vikarech rifta. Velo amarluhu the Rabbanon tu krochu. So he goes and breaks bread, but he never invites the Rabbanan to join them and to break bread with them. Palag rifta liyunoke. He distributed the bread to the children. The kshisha chado. To older children he gave them one loaf of bread. Uzutra trei. And to the younger children he gave two loaves of bread. Amarlala de beitu. He says to his wife, Yadana de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan come here mishum mitra gaatu. They came because I know they're asking me for rain. Nesa ligra. Let us go upstairs. Vinibai Rachme, and let us daven. Efshar Dmratze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Hashem will respond positively. V'yeti Mitra, then the rain will come. V'lo nachzik tivuta l'nafshin. And then the Rabbanan will not attribute it to us and thank us for it. They'll just assume that it came. So Saku Le'igra, they went up to the attic. Kamiu Bechada Zavita, he stood in one corner. Vi Bechada Zavita, and she in the other corner. Similar to Yitzchak and Rivka when they're praying for children. Kadim slog anane mahach zvita debitu. So it started, or at first, the clouds gathered around the corner or the section where his wife was davening. Kinachet, when he descends, Amar Luhu, he says to the messengers, the two messengers from the Tamid Chachamim from Yerushalayim, Amai atu rabbanon. Why are you here? Samulei Shadrilan Rabbanan Negabei Demar Lemivai Rachmei Amitra. Because the Chamim sent us here as emissaries to ask you to please pray for rain. Samulei Baruch HaMakom Shlo Yitzrich Etchem V'Abba Chilkiah. How good is the situation here that you don't even need me? Because they already saw the clouds were coming in, it was beginning to rain, and they didn't even have to ask. And it was happening. Samulei, they said, we got your gig. Yadina Dimitra Machmat Marhu Data. We know the only reason it's raining right now is because of you. And only because of you is the rain coming. Elalemalan Mar Hane Miled Mialan. Can you just explain to us your behavior over the time period that we spent with you? My time Agiaivna Lamar Shlama, when we greeted you, Lo Asbarlan Marape. You did not return in kind. Amalo Tschiom Havai. Ame was a day laborer. Famina Lo Ipagar. It said, I can't become lazy or let go of my guard down because I have to work to my fullest because I'm a day laborer. And you see the obligation that he felt that when he had signed on to be a day laborer when he had committed to do something for his boss, he did it to the fullest extent. He wasn't comfortable stopping to greet others. He wasn't comfortable being distracted from his work because he had made a commitment. And when you make a commitment, you work to your fullest extent. Like Yaakov Avinu in the house of Lavan. That when he goes to work, he does it with kol kocho, with all of his strength. He doesn't do it in a lazy manner. He doesn't do it as a bidiavad. If you're going to work, you do it to the greatest extent. You give your all to your work, both because you're committed to someone else and you owe it to them because they're paying you for it, but also for your own good, that you have to have a sense of always giving it your all, no matter what you're engaged in.
When you took the wood and the tools, you put it on one shoulder. When you took your cloak, you put it on the other shoulder. Tamaluhu explains to them, Talit Shulahita. It was a borrowed overgarment or cloak. I borrowed it to wear it. But I didn't borrow it to use as a mat
under a load which could possibly tear it.
And therefore, I can't utilize it for this because I could ruin it and I wasn't given permission to use it like that.
I borrowed it to wear it. I didn't borrow it to use it in a manner that might cause damage to it. And therefore he was makpid not to put it under the load that he carried.
How come he didn't wear shoes the entire time? And you put on your shoes when you reach the water body. Every way I go, along the way, I can see where I'm stepping. On the other hand, in the water, I can't see where I'm stepping. And therefore, I put on shoes because I could get hurt based on where I was stepping. My time akimata marli chizmi vehigi. Why, when you reach the thorns and the thistles, delenu the mane, you pulled up your cloak. Amenu ze male aruka veze ina male aruka. Says your body recovers, rejuvenates, whereas the clothing, once it's torn or ripped, it can't be fixed. So the object that cannot be fixed, you protect, and that is the clothing. The object that heals itself, like the human body, you don't protect it. So he basically pulled up his cloak and went through the bushes or the thistles and the thorns, and they went into his legs, or they scratched up his legs. And that was better than letting the clothing get ripped, because when it rips up his legs will heal, but the clothing will remain intact, which wouldn't happen if it got caught in the thorns. My time, kimata mar damato. How come your wife came out to greet you when you reached the city and she was all decked out? She wanted to make sure I wasn't distracted by anybody else and I would only focus on her. So she made herself so appealing that I would have no reason to look other places. My time, why did you let your wife go in first? And then you? And then you went in after her. And then you let us come in. I'm not sure about your yichus. I don't know you well enough. So therefore I put myself between you and my wife. Because if you're ksherim, it's not a big deal. But if you are pritzim, then it would have been problematic. So even though I should have entered in first, and then only afterwards my wife, nevertheless I gave my wife to enter first in order that I would be between you and my wife. My time akikarech ma rifta lo amalan etu kruchu. Why, when you were breaking bread, did you not invite us to join you? Mishom de lo nefishi rifta. Says, I don't have enough bread. I couldn't have fed you because I don't have sufficient bread to feed you. And therefore, if, aminan lo achzik behu min rabbanan tivuta bechinam. And if I offered you to eat the bread or to join us in the bread when I really couldn't, and I figured you were going to turn me down anyway, then it would look like I was generous in granting you a gift, even though that wasn't the truth. Wasn't going to give you any bread because I didn't have any bread. I was just counting on the fact that you would say no. So I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want to take credit for something I didn't do. My time, Yaiv Mar, the Yinoka Kishisha Chadarifta. How come you gave the elder children one loaf? Luzutra Trey. And to the younger ones, you gave two. So I'm like, Ha Kai Bebeta. This one, the older children in the house. Vayikayoti Bebet Kanishta. And the other one is out in the Beit Knesset. And therefore, they didn't have anything to eat all day. So when they come home, I give them more. On the other hand, those that are in the house all day, they already ate or they had sufficient supplies, and therefore I give them a smaller amount to eat. In my time, I called them slok ananei mehachzavita davakayimit debitu ananot didei. How come the clouds appeared when the rain clouds started to form? They came over where your wife was davening versus the clouds above him. It says, Mishom de itata shchicha bebeita. The wife is more commonly found in the house. Vayoy rifto l'aniyei. And she gives bread to the aniyim. So number one is, she is more frequently giving tzedakah because she's present in the house when the aniyim come. Number two is, umikarev hanyata. When she gives him a loaf of bread, she makes it very simple for him to benefit from that loaf of bread. As opposed to me, who gives money to the aniyim, and then they have to take that money and they have to process and they have to do everything to make it into bread. Here you have fully processed bread, banana, even and zuza, velo mikarev hanyata. On the other hand, I give out money and they don't get the benefit that they get from the food. When my wife gives them food, they're ready to go. They can eat without any other expenditure, without any effort. When I give them the money, they either have to go purchase things or have to grow things, and it's much more extensive before they actually benefit from what I'm giving. So her type of chesed, her tzedakah, is much better than my tzedakah. Inami. Another reason is because of Hanu Bir Yonai, Tahava Bishivutan. There were these difficult individuals who lived in our neighborhood. Ana Bai Rachme Dilimotu. I demand Hashem that they should die and stop bothering me. And she davened that they should be chozer b'tshuva. And sure enough, v'hadru, they did come back b'tshuva, and she was successful with her tefillot. Similar story in the Gemara in Brachot, on Daf Yud, with the story between Rabbi Meir and Bruria. A similar story where they were these individuals that were bothering Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir davened that they should die, and Bruria corrects him and says, don't daven they should die. Daven that they should be chozer b'tshuva. And sure enough, that's what happens. They're chozer b'tshuva. That's the story of Abba Chilkia, the grandson of Choni HaMa'agel. Now we have another story about another grandson of Choni HaMa'agel, which is Hanana Nachbe Bar Brate de Choni HaMa'agel. He was the son of the daughter of Choni HaMa'agel Hava. Ki HaMitzrech Amol HaMitro, when the world needed rain, when Eretz Yisrael needed rain, Avo Mishadrei Rabbanan. They used to send over the Rabbanan, Yenokei de Beirav, the Gabe, send over the young children to him. They used to catch on to the bottom of his cloak. Abba, Abba, Havlan Mitra, Father, Father, give us rain. Do it in the honor of the merit of these young children. They can't distinguish between the Father that provides the rain, meaning Father in heaven that provides the rain, and me, the Father. They can't make that distinction, therefore they're calling me Abba, Abba. Why do they call him by that nickname? Because that's the girsa that we have here, which is that he used to hide himself and was super tsanua in the bathroom. Rashi has an alternative girsa that leaves out bebeta kisei and says that in general he was a huge anav and therefore he didn't want anybody to see him when he davened. So I'm Rabbi Zrika, the Rav Safra. Tachazi ma ben takifei dara de Yisrael, the chassidi de Bavel. Let's see how different the great ones of Eretz Yisrael are versus the chassidim of Bavel. Chassidi de Bavel, who are they considered to be the chassidi de Bavel? Rav Huna, Rav Chista. Kava misrach amal de mitra, when they needed rain and they were approaching them. Amrei nichnif, gabei hadodi, vinibai rachme. Let us go together, gather together, and daven. Maybe Hashem will acquiesce to give us rain. Takifu the Arad Israel, the great ones of Eretz Israel. You go on Rabbi Yonah Abua the Rabbi Mani. Rabbi Yonah the father of Rabbi Mani. You have a mitzrach amo the mitra. Whenever the world needed rain, have a ayel de beite. You go into the house. The amar luhu havuli nevalki. Give me my sack. Beizav aitili bezuzah ibura. Then I'm going to go out to the shuk and I'm going to buy food. Even though it costs a lot of money for Zuza, and I'm going to use the sack to transport it back. When he went outside to daven, he used to put himself in a deep valley or a low-lying place. I called you out from the depths. He was in a location that was not discoverable. He was all alone. And then that sackcloth that he took to buy and put the food into it, to transport the food, he wore it. He beseeches Hashem to have rachmim, mercy, v'ate mitra, and the rain will come. Ki hava ate the beite, amri lei, they said to him, aiti mar ibura, where's the produce that you went out to buy? You said you were buying food, where's all that food? Amalu, amina, I said, hoel v'ate mitra, the rain clouds already gathered over here, hashtava rava chalma. Now things are going to get a lot better for the world, and prices are going to drop tomorrow. So I'm better off not buying today, I'm better off buying tomorrow, once the prices drop because there's going to be rain today. Now, they had no clue that he was the one davening for the rain. They had no clue that he went out to do exactly that. It's the davening for the rain. So now, well, there are two things that are different between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. The first thing that is apparent in Bavel is that they aren't davening alone. Here it says Rav Huna and Rav Chista used to speak to each other and then go in and daven. So that's the first thing to note, that in Eretz Yisrael, when we talked about Rabbi Yonah, the father of Rabbi Mani, Rabbi Yonah goes by himself. He's an individual. He does everything by himself. Whereas in Bavel, they needed more than one person. That's the first distinction. The second distinction is disclosure. In Bavel, Rav Huna and Rav Chista are saying, let's get together and see if we can get some rain here. So they make it into a much more public issue. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, like we just saw in the story of Rabbi Yonah, he did it in a very quiet manner, in an unassuming manner, in a way that nobody would know about it. V'tu, Rabbi Mani Brei Hava Kamentzari Lei Debei Nisiyah. Now, continuing along these stories, Rabbi Mani, the son of Rabbi Yonah, the house of the exilarch, or the Nasi, was giving him a hard time. Ishtatach al kibra davua, he went and prostrated himself on his father's grave. I'm like, Abba, Abba, my father, Hani Mitzari Li. These people are bothering me, they're giving me a very hard time. Yom Echad, Havaka Chalfei Hotam. When at one point, the people from the Beit Hanasi were crossing over the cave in which Rabbi Yonah was buried. Inkud kara desus vatayu. The hooves of their horses got stuck. Ad kabilu alayu toloka mitzari le. Until they accepted upon themselves that they wouldn't bother him anymore. So he came to the rescue of his son. V'tu, Rabbi Mani hava shchia kameid Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliashiv. He was commonly found learning by Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliashiv. Amalei, atire debechami kamitzaru li. The rich people from my in-law's house are causing me a lot of trouble, a lot of pain. Amar li'anu. So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliashiv answers him and says, li'anu, they should become poor. Vianu, and sure enough, they became poor. Amar kadachavku li. Now he says, now it's a problem, because now they'll keep asking me for money, because they have nothing to spend. Samu li'atru. So he says, let them be rich. Vi'atru, and sure enough, they went back to being rich. Amar lo mikabli alai enash beitei. I'm not so happy with my wife. I'm no longer attracted to my wife. My wife is no longer acceptable to me. I'm like, mashma. What's her name? He says to him. He says, Chano. He says, Tidyapi Chano. She should become beautiful. Pityafat. And that's exactly what happened. She became beautiful. I'm like, Ka Megandra Alai. She has become a big boss. A certain amount of haughtiness is set in with her. And therefore, she's pushing me around. I'm like, Yochi Takzor Chana Leshachrurita. She should go back to her original state. And sure enough, that's what happens. She goes back to her original state. And everyone's happy. It's a famous story, famous drash with the stone cutter. But a similar story over here, which is, people always think that the other side is better. Or if they only had this, or if they could get this. But then when they end up with that thing, they keep wishing that they can go back to the original point. Or the original thing that they had. It's expressed in a famous line, which is, that when given the choice, when people look at their character traits and that which Hashem has bestowed upon them, and they put it out on the table in front of them, and they can exchange or change them around, bottom line is that if everybody put all their character traits and all the things that they have down on the table, I think close to 90% of them would take back what they had already. They'd go back to being themselves. They're very happy with what they have. And therefore, when we complain and change things, in the end, all they want to do is come back to the original state. So it's good to have the forethought to realize that, and to enjoy and benefit from that which you have. And the lesson, of course, is that many times the grass is greener on the other side, but that really comes from a lack of full assessment of what really is embedded or encompassed by that trait or by that gift. We many times selectively look at all the good that comes from that, but we fail to see all the negative aspects that are also accompanied by that. And we don't realize that the status quo that we think is comfortable right now will be changed if one changes that character trait or that gift. And so the lesson here is clear that one needs to appreciate what they have, and instead of spending their time being jealous of what others have, rather expend the effort in proving and utilizing and leveraging that which you do have.
So Hanu Trey Tamidei Davu Kameid Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliashiv. There was two Tamidim that sat in front of Yitzchak ben Eliashiv. Amulei, Ibai Marach Chamei Alan.
please daven on our behalf, tenach kim tuva, that we should become much smarter and much greater. Amar luhu, he says back to them, imi haita ushlachtia. I used to have the gift for giving brachot, but now she is gone. So the way the Rabbeinu Gershom explains that is, klomar, b'tchila haya li bilakach, originally that's what I thought to do, v'kvar kibalti alai shelo latriach et kuni. But since then, I accepted upon myself not to bother Hashem so much, not to make this into a frequent occurrence that I'm giving all these brachot and changing things around. That's one way to read it. The other way to read it is, imi aita ushlach tiha. I did have this with me at one point, but I had to, for whatever reasons, I had to leave it behind or I can't utilize it anymore. Meaning that I was no longer empowered to use it anymore. That power was taken away from me. I had that power, and now that power was taken away from me. And the last possibility is that he was making an excuse. And Ochanami could have given them that bracha, but he didn't want to give them that bracha. And that's why he says, imi aita, I had that power, ushlachtia, but I no longer have that power. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, avashchia kameid Rabbi Yossi de min yukrat. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin used to learn by Rabbi Yossi min yukrat. Shavgei, vata de kameid Ravashi. He leaves Rabbi Yossi de min yukrat, where he learned, and then he goes and hooks up with Ravashi. Yom achad, shamei de ka goris. It's not clear who heard what here. Whether Rav Ashi overheard Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, or Rabbi Yossi bar Avin overheard Rav Ashi. And they were saying, Gagaris, Amar Shmuel, Ashulet Dag Minayam, someone who pulls a fish out of the ocean, Bishabat, Anjabat, Kevan Shiavesh Bo Kesela, at the point in time that it's dried up the size of a sela, anywhere on the fish, Chayav, he becomes Chayav for Nitilat Nishama, because the fish will no longer live at that point in time. So Amarle, Vele Ma Mar, why don't you add in the qualifier which says Uben San Pira Snapirav, that it's between its fins. That's where it has that type of impact. Amalei, Velo Savala Mar Dahu Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Amro. He said back to him, don't you know that Rabbi Yossi bar Avin was the one who said this? Amalei, Ananihu. He says, that's me. That's why I didn't quote it that way, because it's me. Samalei, Velav Kamed Rabbi Yossi bin Yukratava, Shriach Mar. Didn't you always learn by Rabbi Yossi bin Yukrat? What are you doing over here? Amalei, hey, that's true. So why did you leave that teacher and now come to learn by me? He says, this is an individual who doesn't have mercy on his own children. How is he ever going to be merciful towards me? And we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow with a discussion about exactly what he did to his children or how he was an akzari to his children. So I couldn't learn by him anymore, because he would not provide me with the proper relationship where he would care about me. So therefore I left him and I went over to Rav Ashi. And again, tomorrow we'll hear about exactly how he treated his children that made Rav Yossi bar Avin want to leave and not learn by him anymore. Okay, we'll stop over here.